What's up, guys? Welcome to the podcast. You are listening to Keeping It Raw, and I am Raw. And in the studio, we have two special guests. Go ahead and say something, guys. They're not going to say anything. They're my dogs. If they're good, they're not going to say anything. Right, guys? Winston and Roscoe. Give it up for Winston and Roscoe. The crowd goes wild. All right. Winston and Roscoe, they are the dogs. They are chilling in the studio with me today. But today, I have something so exciting to go over. I watched this video on Facebook, and I thought it was the coolest thing in the world. Okay, so there is such a thing as cereal mixology. There's a guy named Ed V, and he made this. Apparently, he does a lot of videos, but he did a master class. Now, when I started watching this video and he started saying how this is a master class, I thought it was just a parody of all these legit master classes out there, this whole thing, this whole movement that's out there right now where, you know, professionals go and talk about their trade or craft or whatever you want to call it. Anyway, so I thought it was just a parody. Well, this guy, within a minute of watching this video, I was like, this guy knows what he's talking about. This guy's on to something. So cereal mixology, it's exactly what you think it is. It's the study of cereal mixing. And it is, I'm so excited right now because I've done this. I've created, in his video, he has gone over three different cereal mixes, okay? Cereal mixology is just mixing of different types of cereal to create certain flavors, okay? Certain flavors that complement each other. And in the bowl that I have in front of me, can you hear that? That's me mixing the bowl, okay? In the bowl I have here, this is called the Elvis. Now, let me explain the ingredients in this bowl. Before I lose you, the ingredients in this bowl are one layer of Captain Crunch peanut butter. All right, which is totally cool, unless you're weird and you don't like peanut butter, but whatever. We're not going to acknowledge that tonight or today, whenever you're listening to this. One layer of Captain Crunch peanut butter, another layer of Cocoa Pebbles, the Flintstone Cocoa Pebbles, yes. You put that on top as the second layer. And the way Ed describes it is it's like the sand falling between the rocks of the... So the Cocoa Pebbles are falling between the pebble or the Captain Crunch peanut butter. I spent way too much time on the second layer. The third layer is banana pudding cereal made by Nilla, okay? Like the Nilla wafers and all that, yeah, they have a banana pudding flavored cereal. The point of this is to, so you got peanut butter, you got chocolate, and you got bananas, okay? And then the fourth layer is honey Chex, or Chex honey, or whatever it is. Chex honey flavored. And that's because he says that honey, he likes honey with his peanut butter and whatever. I don't know. It's just, I was skeptical of it, but I was like, sounds so good. I'm going to try it. So, hi, as my mouth is watering, I'm going to go ahead and try it. Cereal mixology. So, oh man, getting the right amount of milk. That's the only issue. All right. So here we go. Cereal mixology. Here we go. And I know I've lost some of you guys and that's okay. But the point is to try to get a little bit of every. So one thing he describes about this, which I'm finding to be correct, is that when you the Cocoa Pebbles, they stick to the other cereals. So like he thought it would be perfect if they could stick to the peanut butter because, you know, chocolate and peanut butter mix well together. But all right, so you want to get a spoonful, and you want it to get every flavor on the spoon. Okay, so here we go. Wow. I will never be the same. Never. Not going to happen. Oh, wow. That's okay. I could tell right now I'm going to have to pause this show. But one thing about I'm noticing about the Fruity Pebbles that, okay, I haven't had, I'm sorry, not Fruity Pebbles, but Cocoa Pebbles. I haven't had this in such a long time. One thing is that it immediately turns the regular milk chocolate. Okay. And this is exactly as good as I thought it would be. Wow. So that's enough of that. I'm going to go ahead and pause the show, finish this bowl, and we'll get to moving on. So, and just like that, we are back. Back to the show, back to reality. Now, I did want to let you know that you can find me on Instagram at Keeping It Raw. I changed my Instagram title, handbar, whatever you want to call it, I don't know, gamer tag, whatever, username? Yeah, username. There it is. So you can, I changed it recently so that it matches that of this podcast. So that is, you can find me at Instagram at Keeping It Raw. Keeping It Raw. I was just thinking a couple minutes ago about my son. So my son, he is a snorer, okay? I don't know where he got that from. And he also talks in his sleep. And it's so funny. Oh, my goodness. So, like, sometimes I try to write down what he says during his sleep because it's just the most bizarre. Without any context, you know, hearing somebody talk in their sleep is the most hilarious and interesting thing. Nothing is as interesting as what people say when they're sleeping out loud. Anyway, I was remembering a couple of weeks ago, I heard him in his sleep say, "I'm already wearing my fingers." Like, what is going on in your dream that you're saying, "I'm already wearing my fingers"? That's funny. Now, speaking of my two dogs, though, that are here with us, Roscoe and Winston. Okay, Roscoe is this short, stubby dog. I have no idea. I was sold false good. Wait, a bill of false goods? Why do you say that? I don't know. Anyway, yeah. Oh, man. I got to have Lauren on here, too. Lauren was with me when we went to go pick up Roscoe, and that's an interesting story in itself. However, so I have Winston and Roscoe. Winston, I know, is a Greek hare hound, which sounds fancy, but he's really just a tall hound dog, and he has that low growl and voice and everything. Anyway, the reason I said that is because I was remembering, so Roscoe is, I got Roscoe for Levi, okay? It wasn't necessarily for his birthday, but it was around that time frame. Anyway, so he's an interesting dog. He kind of, he's been here longer, but he is the family dog that you probably would be familiar with, okay? He is he's very accepting, or he's very, it just doesn't take much for him to get excited. He'll eat anything that you throw down. Now he only eats dog food only, you know, but, and so does Levi sometimes if you don't catch him, if you don't watch him good enough. And then, so he's like the quintessential dog. Okay. Winston, on the other hand, is not like that. Winston came from a, I guess, a rescue place or something. I don't know. He was rescued by people anyway. So a couple people down the line, that's when I was watching him, and then we decided to keep him. Now, Winston is trained, okay? He knows a couple tricks. And Roscoe just knows how to sit. So, but I love Roscoe, okay? Because Roscoe, he always knows what I mean. I mean, he's great. And then Winston requires more. Winston requires more attention. He needs affection. Oh, this dog. Even though he plays outside and has all the energy spent, he still wants to play with you. And which is, that's what a dog does. You have to play with your dog, right? But Winston just, he has like a higher oh my goodness, like he's snobby. That's how I feel about him. He can only eat grain-free food. Okay. He has an allergy to chicken, so no chicken ever. And I did try to feed him chicken once. The problem with that was that he started pooting everywhere. This dog is farting everywhere, and these stink. Horrible, horrible. And yeah, so then I was like, nope, we're not doing that again. No more chicken. Okay, I get it. I get it. All right, you sent your message. All right. And yeah, so he's so particular. And so I think, in my opinion, Roscoe has kind of started becoming snobby too. Yeah, so I got two snobby dogs in the house. And then stopping Levi from eating their food too sometimes. Levi, if you don't watch him, he's going to do it. And part of their treat. Okay, so I got them treats. And the treat that always works for them that they get before bedtime is made by Three Dog Bakery. They are cookies. They're like plant-based cookies. They're good for dogs. They're catered. They're marketed towards dogs, okay? They're just plant-based. And they're edible to humans, okay? And one of my friends was over and, yeah, basically pointed out the fact that these cookies are just a marketing gimmick, that they're good for humans too, and they're just overpriced cookies for dogs. So ever since then, I was like, whatever, it works for them. Because that's the treat they know they're going to get whenever it's time to go to bed. So as soon as I grab them, they know where the cookies are too. And as soon as they grab them, as soon as I grab them, they go straight to bed. And I love it. I love that they're on a routine. I love that they listen. I love that they respond to the cookies and immediately go where they're supposed to go. They're great. I'm glad I have the dogs. They're expensive, but I'm glad that I have the dogs. And then Levi, though. When I told Levi we're going to keep Winston, Levi was pretty he was bothered by it at first because the problem is that Roscoe is Levi's dog, and so Levi always got to play with Roscoe. But now that Winston's around, Roscoe and Winston play together a lot, and Levi got his feelings hurt a couple times, which is sad to hear, right? But yeah, he was like, why doesn't Roscoe play with me anymore? And I'm like, dude, it's just another dog. Why don't you grab a toy and they'll both play with you? And anyway, so I think he's off that whole thing now, and I think he's fine. But that whole process was funny, them all clicking and or not clicking. In the studio behind me, I have three shirts hanging up, okay, on the wall. Three shirts hanging up. They're t-shirts and they're tacked into the wall. One is a, if the audio goes out a little bit while I'm turning my head to look at them. One of them is a Nintendo controller. Okay. Old school Nintendo controller. The next one is a Pac-Man shirt. And the next one is a Donkey Kong shirt. Okay, so I wasn't a fan of Donkey Kong, and the only reason I hung that shirt up is just because it just went with the other theme. I mean, it was just like a video game theme, which I'm not a video game. I'm not good at video games, so don't think that. I mean, I know that has its whole thing, and I don't want to be judged by other true video game fanatics out there. I like video games, okay? I like Red Dead Redemption. However, I'm done with it, like, I don't know if anybody else is like that with Red Dead, you know. I don't know if anybody's even playing it or talking about it anymore. It's just, it didn't carry the same. It was fun at first, and it was so cool, and they spent 5 years creating this video game. And it's cool and all, but I don't know if anybody's even talking about that anymore. Yeah, so that's interesting. In listening to the podcast, you know, that I've been re-listening to, I realize that there are a couple things that, you know, there are different quirks that you do. One thing is I stop a story to beginning a short snippet of another story. that happens. And the other thing I do that I realize is I say the phrase, okay, so as I'm transitioning to a new thought, I say the phrase, okay, so, and all I think of is queso dip, because I said that in one of the podcasts. If I ever get shirts for the podcast, it's going to say, okay, so, not like, okay, comma, so, but O-H-Q-U-E-S-O-S-O-W-S-O. What? All right. That was horrible thought. That was a horrible train of thought there. Did you guys hear about the Chris Watts murder investigation or murders? So there's this guy in Colorado. Oh my goodness, this is turning dark. There's this guy in Colorado who whose name is Chris Watts, and he killed his wife and two daughters, and his wife was pregnant, by the way. And he was talking to a mistress or whatever, and I guess just snapped one day. It's a crazy story, and I'm not getting into all of it, but the reason I brought it up is because it's such a horrific story, that is. So because the reason I brought it up is because he's actually from my area in North Carolina, and his wife is her family is probably about 30 minutes away. And it's crazy because I live in Spring Lake, and I went to Pine Forest High School, and he graduated a year before I did in Pine Forest, but I didn't know him. I recognized the name because I thought I knew somebody else with that same name that I did graduate with. Anyway, it wasn't the same person, and didn't look the same. They don't look the same at all. But anyway, so he graduated a year before I did. He lived in the same city I did here in Spring Lake, and I didn't know him. And he also worked at the same chain or fast food restaurant that I did, but it wasn't the same location. So there were two Subways in Spring Lake at that time. One was off Murchison Road, which means nothing to most of you that are listening to this. And the other was on Bragg Boulevard. And I started at Bragg Boulevard. That's when I got my first job. And then I moved to the other one because the other location was a new location. And I moved there. And I guess when I was working there that he worked at the other one, which is so weird. It's so crazy to think of that. The connection is so close, and this was like a highly publicized murder that had happened, and it was pretty interesting. But speaking of Subway, that was my first job, and it was really cool the way I got that job. So I always wanted, when I was a kid, I wanted my job to be to work at Walmart, okay? How ambitious was that? No, that wasn't what I wanted to grow up to do. That was just what I wanted to do to make money. And no offense to anybody out there working at Walmart, by the way. I salute you. Anyway, I thought it was cool to work at Walmart because I saw people like with walkie-talkies. And of course, I was like 14 years old, and I thought that was the coolest thing. So I went home, and I wrote this letter for the manager of Walmart to hire me, and why I thought that the manager should hire me. And I told a relative that I had done that because I wanted to work there, and they convinced me that that was the dumbest idea in the world. Not only would they not hire a 14-year-old, but nobody's going to read my stupid letter and make a decision based on that. I don't believe that nowadays. Anyway, somebody crushed my dreams. When I turned 16, I was able to get my first job. So what happened was, I was like ready to go. I was ready to get my first job. I was wanting to do it so bad. And my aunt was convincing me like, yeah, you need to do this. You need to get money. You want to be able to do your own stuff, right? You want to be able to save, you want to be able to buy your own things. You know, I was like, yeah, you ain't got to sell me. I'm ready to go. I'm Mexican. I'm ready to work. And so she got me in the car. drove not even a mile down the road to the nearest place, which happened to be Subway. And I had this button-up dress shirt on, you know, and I had she helped me make a resume and everything, which, I mean, I legit had no job, but I had a resume. And she was like, all right, go in here, you know, just grab a – she was like, where do you want to work? And I was like, I don't know, like, let's try somewhere close that I can walk to. So that was the reason I went there. That was the first stop, Subway. And I walked in and I asked for an application. And the assistant manager said, or the assistant to the manager, she said, hold on just a second. I was like, really? I just need an application. I wasn't like that. I was so happy. I was so stoked. I was so excited. I was ready to do this. So I was like, yeah, of course. So she gets the manager and says, hey, you know, this young man wants an application. And the manager, her name is Sheila, and I'm still friends with her today. She said, yeah, you want to work here? And I was like, yeah. She was like, well, do you have a minute? Do you want to sit down real quick? And I was like, okay, yeah. So, you know, she sat me down. She was kind of telling me about the job and she was asking me questions. And I did the whole time not realizing that I was actually in an interview. And, you know, she was just telling me about the job and she wanted to get to know me and stuff. And I thought it was cool. And then she said, all right, well, I want you to work for me. So fill out this application and bring it back. And when do you think you can start working? And I said, wait, you're hiring me? I was so baffled. Like, what is happening? And it was the coolest. It was the such. I know another thing I picked up on the podcast. Here I go again with the segues. I realized that I say a lot of the same words. I need to increase my vocabulary. But it was legit the coolest experience I ever had in terms of getting. Actually, now I think I interview quite well. Now doing the job, that's when no, I'm just kidding. So yeah, I worked there throughout high school, made money, and it worked out very well. Subway was the best job to start with because while it was fast food, it was, you know, everything was clean. A lot of the stuff was done already. When you're talking about fresh ingredients and things like that, I didn't have to grill, so I didn't stink. And I just smelled like bread when I got home, and I got to take home sandwiches and cookies. And so my siblings loved me for that, except for when I didn't bring home sandwiches and cookies, or I did and just didn't share. They still hold those grudges against me, but it ended up being a cool experience. And I'm glad I didn't have to go shopping around a lot of different places, filling out all those applications. Cause I did not realize. I remember filling out that application after I had already got the job. And when I filled out that application, I was like, wait, you mean I would have had to fill this whole thing out for each job I was wanting? Like, this is ridiculous. There's so much. Why can't somebody just fill out one? Why isn't there a universal? Oh, my goodness. I just created a. I shouldn't share this because somebody's going to steal my great idea. But why isn't there a universal application that everybody can fill out that you can send that is good enough for every job? I mean, that's kind of what a resume is, but it's not at the same time. A resume, I don't even get the point of a resume. Resumes are pointless. All this should be on the application. If we had a universal application system, there'd be a lot more chances for people, I think. Anyways, wow, what an interesting idea. So but that's all I want to talk about. I do want to share about my first vehicle because that was legend. Wait for it. Dairy. Anyway, thanks for listening to the podcast. Thanks for keeping it raw and keeping it under 30. You guys have a great day. Bye.